In Tabarani there's a hadith that a woman, a sister, she came in the service of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this hadith, the meaning of this hadith I am presenting and sharing with you. And she requested, the sister, that, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me some nasiha, please give me some advice, so that I can become the beloved servant of Allah. This is the meaning of the discussion that she was having. What a great question she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there can be no greater question than this, that a believer, a Muslim, and a person who doesn't believe, who is not a Muslim, what's the difference between the two in their life, in the person who has iman, faith, and the person who doesn't have iman, faith? What's the difference between the two? They eat, he sleeps, he drinks, they all do the same as human beings. But the difference is just this, that their mission is something else, and the one who believes, his mission or her mission is something else. Now if there's no difference in the mission, and both are the same, equal, then what's the difference between the two? So if you don't have that difference, if you don't have that objective, you don't have the purpose, so after having iman, belief, the difference between one person and the one who doesn't believe, his destination, his thoughts, his lifestyle, his thinking, his ideology, his actions, his company, his speaking, everything is unique and different. Yes, it goes from right, left to right, the destinations or opposite. Both have a difference. So first and foremost, we need to assess ourselves first, that inside us and the people who don't believe, this line, this defining line, is in between us and them? That our life, our thinking and their thinking of their life, is it different? Our destination and their destination, is it different? Then we can say that we have valued our iman, and we've respected our iman, we have appreciated our iman, and we are grateful that Allah's great mercy and reward that He's given to us iman, because there's no greater wealth than iman, my friends. The most precious thing that Allah Ta'ala has given to a human being is iman, faith, belief. If we didn't have belief, if we didn't have iman, you wouldn't be here. You'd be sat somewhere else now. So this is the achievement of iman, that the whole life, at any turn of life, it brings a person back to the reality. It definitely brings a person back to the reality through which he can please his Rabb Allah. Even if it's delayed, it takes long, no problem, no worries. Even after 70 years, if you get the understanding, Allah says, no problem. At least you've understood eventually. You've forgotten, you forgot the path, you've come back to your destination. So don't worry. So the danger was this, that if you had passed away and died in this manner, in rejection, then there would have been great punishment. But you've done a great action, you crushed your desires, your nafs, and you came. Allah Ta'ala can make everyone a Muslim if He wants. If Allah wants the whole population of the world, He can make Muslim, and everyone can become believers and fill their masjids, and there'll be no disbeliever left. But this dunya is a test, it's a trial, it's a challenge, my friends. And this is a test for the human being in this world. Allah Ta'ala has given us freedom of will, choice. Choice. Allah has given us choice. It's up to you what you want to do. I will send the guidance, and I will give you aql, wisdom. Look here, all the makhluk, human beings, creation, animals, Allah Ta'ala has made. All the makhluk, the creatures, the creation, animal species. But Allah has made the human being is the complete specimen. And certain animals lack in something, certain animals lack in something else, certain creatures lack in something. The animals, flies, bees, angels, all the creatures that Allah Ta'ala has made. But the human being is ahsani taqweem. Allah says he's the superior form of creation. Allah has made a unique creature. The human being has got full consciousness, full awareness. The greatest thing that Allah has given to the human being is aql, wisdom. The ability to think and ponder. Allah has made him handsome and given a brain and thinking and control and strength and freedom. Look at that. Freedom of will. And we've got all of this. And we would like to become those people who have no akal, no awareness. We want to be like animals, like the cows and the donkeys. We want to be like them, like animals. Yes, yes, we have a stomach, we have food, we have, but they don't have akal, they don't have wisdom. The cows, the animals. So we have everything in our possession. Allah's given us thoughts and thinking. Now it depends, where do we use our akal, our intellect, our brains? What's the way to use the intellect, the wisdom? This is the test for a person. And if this understanding and awareness, if we go towards the dunya, then everyone else is doing the same. We can earn the dunya, totally we can earn dunya. With this akal and wisdom Allah has given you control, freedom, choice. Allah doesn't stop you. You can do whatever you want. If you want to do dhulam, oppression, carry on. Allah says fine. So it's one decision once Allah will make for that human being. Once. That will be a very severe decision. In Allah, sari'ul hisab, Allah says. Very soon Allah says, I will reckon and account for your deeds. I haven't just given you akal for nothing. It's not that Allah won't judge us. He will question us. He will put us on trial. That did you not even understand that what is dirty, impure, and what is clean and pure? Could you not differentiate? Did you not know the difference between good and bad? Cannot be. Everyone, everything we knew. But you yourself wanted to consume the dirty things. Allah said, that's your fault, human being. Allah said, I give you akal, wisdom, choice. I gave you a nose to smell. Oh, something smelly. Very quickly we smell the bad smelling things. Allah says, in lying there's such a stench and smell. When a human being lies, the angels go miles away from him. So why do you lie? Why do you lie? Allah has given you akal, understanding. Those things that the angels run far away from, why do you lie? But by lying one thing, I think I get success in the world, my business flourishes, I get mal, I get wealth, I get funds. So a person fails here. On this hurdle, this is a test. It's a challenge. Money comes to you, wealth comes to you, okay, fine. But what has it come for? It's come for that action. The Allah says the angels, they run far away from a person. He lied and he earned money. Will he get any benefit from his money? Tell me. So true tawbah, when a person repents, first and foremost, he ends those actions from his body, from his life, from homes, from banks. Those people who've kept money like this, unlawfully, he's got akal, wisdom. All of this is wrong, he says. And I've done tawbah, I've repented. The interest money, riba money, haram money, unlawful money, doubtful money. There's a doubt in it, and I lied to earn this, and I use that. I've learnt now. But we are so full of wisdom and intellect that we carry on doing the same sins. Shaitan makes us happy. No, you've done tawbah, you've repented, you pray salah, you go on hajj, you do pious deeds, right? It's all deception. This is all deception. So this is the line, the defining line, between who? The person of Iman and that person who doesn't believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Understand topic? So this is the start. We'll carry on, mashallah, and find out what we are. Because Taraweeh, mashallah, has finished quickly today. So we've got time, and you've come this reason to sit with me, isn't it? You've come, traveled all this far. So stay sitting, mashallah, with ease. Whoever wants to go, there are two, three, four doors there you can go. Don't worry about it. You can exit. 5, 6 exits they kept it for this reason. Those who have loved, they said to whoever wants to go, he can depart, leave, exit. Will you stay sitting? Inshallah. So my brothers, I don't like speaking too much and I don't have time to speak. I totally don't have the desire to speak and I don't have knowledge, I don't have the ilm, I don't know how to speak, Quran, technical knowledge, I have nothing. But the lovers who are sitting in front of me, the lovers of Allah, then I have forced to speak. This is my weak point. This is my weak point, that these are the servants of Allah. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've come here. They love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This passion of theirs, this makes me speak. I'm sick, I'm unwell, I've got a headache, I forget all my sicknesses because the lovers of Allah sat in front of me. So I'm forced to speak. So this is the feeling. That's why I'm saying that you are lovers of Allah, because you do love Allah. All of you sitting here. Who would leave his house? Apart from no one leaves his home except for earning money. You'll go to Scotland to run a market stall in the severe cold. And no one stops. Oh, I didn't know it was cold. It was fine. It was very warm, the room up there when I went there. He doesn't know that there's snowing there. Wasn't it 0 degrees and market stalls and cold and snowing? And I said, no, I had gloves on. I didn't know it was cold. Because mashallah, the warm money was touching his hands. Isn't it? So the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's his action? Then in the name of Allah, he travels. And mashallah, he has no restriction. He gets the fragrances, dhikr happening there. Let's travel there now. We'll sit there. And where will you eat from there? There, when the lover of Allah travels, then Allah ta'ala prepares his rizq, his food for him there. Oh, Allah says, the ashiks are coming, my lovers are coming. Give them food, give them delicacies. Look at this. This is called the person who loves Allah. They don't have horns on their heads. If you have iman, belief, love of Allah, that person is the greatest lover of Allah. He's got iman. And the test for him is this, is the nights of Ramadan, leaving the house, long journey, leave and take your bedding, your blanket, your pillows, you're going towards a khanqah, you don't know what's going to happen, there's a cold, there's warm, there. No, it's dhikr there, let's go. It's dhikr. And getting ready for Eid, and wife, children, they're all looking, where are you going, why are you leaving us? Oh, I'm coming, I'll come quickly, don't worry, I'll come back quickly. Who are these people? They are the lovers of Allah. So when such people, when I'm surrounded by them, then my friends, my love is revived itself. You understand what I'm saying? So the rest, I don't have a desire to speak. I can't speak. Yeah, I just stay silent normally all the time. I stay quiet. So this hadith I was sharing with you in the beginning that came in my mind is a hadith in Tabarani. And the meaning of the hadith, I told you there's a sister, a woman, a beautiful question she presented to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That you have come to the Prophet, we also go to Peer, oh please do dua for me, my business is not running, Haji, Peer Sahib, do dua for my business, please do dua, I can get a son, I've got too many daughters, apart from dunya, we have no other request. So this sister taught us a lesson, that when you go to a holy sacred place where the duas are accepted, then you should ask for Allah when you go there. Ask for Allah when you go there. Everything you should ask from Allah. Everything you should ask from Allah. My hands do not raise after this dua apart from asking for Allah. If you believe and you ask for Allah, then everything you've asked for at that time. Then after that, what happens? Allah Ta'ala, if Allah comes to you, if Allah is near to you, you get the whole universe, you get the whole world, you get everything in the world. So why are you asking bits and bobs in the world? Pieces of the world, you go to Makkah, Medina, you have a whole list of what to ask. Just speak straightforward. Allah, please, you become happy with me, Allah. Allah, you become happy with me. When you go to Makkah, Medina, ask Allah, Allah, please, Habib Allah, please, you be happy with me. So this sister went to Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, and people would come to the prophets as one companion came. He was a companion, Sahabi. And whoever saw the holy prophet, was a Sahabi. What shall I say? He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please raise your hand to me. What's the issue? I need wealth, he said. I need wealth, I need money. Please do dua for me. If I get wealth, you'll be good. The Prophet said, what will you do money? He said, I'll spend charity. Hospitals, we say we make today. Many people have come like this to me. Hazrat Sahab, I drive a taxi. Do dua for me. I want to stop driving a taxi. I want a nice business. I said, will you run the business? He said, I promise I'll do. I'll practice the deen. Today, they don't even come to the masjid. He's got a big shop now in Bolton. Bolton, he's got a big shop. I said, you said when you get rich, you'll come to the deen. No, Hazrat Sahab, I don't get time now. What can I do? I'm so busy in my shop. This is what happens to people. So this sister, she went, oh, Prophet of Allah, says, please raise your hands for me. And you know that person yourself. So the first hadith, oh, Prophet of Allah, please do other for me. I'll get wealthy. The Prophet said, will you do work of the deen? He said, of course. I want money so I can practice deen and spend on the deen. Oh, please, oh, Prophet, I'll give charity here. Rasulullah said, you won't be able to spend the money properly. It'll be a test for you. Remember, money is a test. Even if you've earned it, halal means, but it's a big test and a challenge for a human being. Do dua to Allah. Allah, give me just that much money that it doesn't become a test for me. A challenge for me. Allah, give to me pure lawful wealth, Allah, but don't make it a trial for me, a test for me. This first time this dua has come from my mouth. I tell you what a correct dua this is. Always I used to think, what dua shall I do? Ask Allah, and ask Allah in such a way that Allah may this dunya not become a test for me. May I just earn enough that I can use for my expenses. Allah, give me enough money that it does not become a test for me. Because it could be that person gets elevated, high status, rich. Even if you give him millions, it doesn't become a test. So Allah gives him millions. In our Naqshbandi silsila, great wealthy walis of Allah, Abdullah Harar, he had palaces, big mansions. Big sheikh he was. He was a Naqshbandi sheikh. Abaydullah Harar, Ahrar, Rahmatullah, he had mansions and servants and attendants. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knew that his heart is detached from the world. Even if I give him a billion, he will distribute it for the deen. He won't be greedy and amass it himself. That's such a big mansion I give to him, he will still sleep on the floor, on the straw mat. And he will do sujood. Such human beings, when millions come to them, then it doesn't give him a loss. When it comes to me, of first I will do is, come on, yaar, let's buy a house. Let's go out of the city where there are no masjids, no madrasas, no tarbiyah of the children. Let's go out to the suburbs. I don't know where people run away. Get big houses in the countryside. Oh, yaar, I don't like these houses in the congested built-up areas in the town. They look dirty because you say they're dirty and I don't like living in Muslim. Then you go out in the posh areas, suburbs, far from the masjid, far from the deen. Does this happen or not? This is money, how it takes a person away from deen. So the first person used to come to the masjid. He went so far away to buy a house. I said, why don't you come to the masjid? He said, oh, I'll go far from the town center and I'll make a masjid there. But he's lost the deen. First, the best house is that house which is closest to the masjid. That's the best house. The blessed place to live. And so close that you go first to the masjid. That's the best house. The one that's closest to the masjid. So do you do? I did dua to Allah once this. Allah, I've migrated. Well, give me such a house that the masjid should be given. No, 17 masjids are near my home now. 7, I have a choice. Go to this mosque, that mosque. Even if I have a car or not, whether it's raining or not, I have a choice. 7 masjids I can go to walking. So ask Allah for these things, great things. Oh, so that sister, she said a beautiful request, and she said, oh Prophet of Allah, please do dua for me. She said, oh Prophet of Allah, you are the treasure. Please raise your hand so that I can succeed. SubhanAllah, this was a dua. Because he was the door of mercy. So she was just waiting for the hands to be raised. So she said, please tell me, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such an action that Allah can make me his beloved servant. Amazing question. Yeah, so I don't need to work too hard. Tell me such an amal, such an action. And if you get this today, will you do it? Put your hands up if you do it. Put your hands up if you do it. Ramadan is this, then you'll have to practice what I'm saying. Okay, put your hands down then. So, you know, I never tell you difficult things to do. I never tell you the difficult things, because I'm weak just like you as well. MashaAllah, you are good, I'm very weak. So I'll never give you hard. I won't say to you, stay awake all night and stand on your legs and do all these wazifa and recitation. No, no. You won't even know such an action. I'll tell you, it'll be so easy for you to do. Don't get scared when you sit in front of me. InshaAllah, deen, I will present to you in an easy manner. Easy manner. It's such a great action I'm about to tell you, but very easy, that Allah will start to love you. This is a great success, isn't it? Whoever you ask, oh, you are to pray salah. Why do you pray salah? I want Allah's pleasure. Yeah, why do you worship? Why do you pray? I want Allah's pleasure. Allah's pleasure. That's what we do. We can't even think that Allah will start to love us if we do this deed. Can we think this? Can we do this? No, there's salah. Can we pray? I have no amal, no deed. I have no sadqa, no zakat that I'm giving. That Allah will start to love me. Am I worthy of this? SubhanAllah. But this action will give us this. So imagine this now. Imagine this. So what did she ask? She said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me the deed that through by doing this I will become the beloved servant of Allah. This is what you learn from the Sahaba, SubhanAllah. So she said, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please advise me that Allah will start to love me. And there was no delay in the reply. And he saw that this woman, she is sincere. Alhamdulillah, when I went to my sheikh, then the first question my sheikh asked me, the first question my teacher asked me, first question, my first answer, listen to this. You believe this, what I'm about to say. Practically, I'm telling you, observation of life. So I didn't even know my sheikh at all. It was just that I realized he was a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, who told me, my heart told me that he was a wali Allah, my heart. So when your heart believes and attests that he's a wali Allah, then grab hold of that wali Allah. Grab hold of the wali Allah. Because there's no greater witness bearing testimony than the heart. If the heart says that this is right, even all the millions of the people of the world say he's a thief, he's wrong, he's not educated, say no way, my heart believes that this person is right. So follow your heart. And Allah says that I go along with your positive thinking, then I will make that person like that, whatever you think about that person. So my heart attested to that fact, it testified to that fact, that he is a wali Allah. And mashallah, I had no understanding then, no knowledge then, and I was 27, 28 years old. And I'm still young now, I'm not old now, I'm still young now, don't worry about it. The person who does dhikr, his life never reduces. The person who does dhikrullah, after every dhikr, my life is refreshed. Alhamdulillah. So this is the conclusion, yes. So, do you not get enjoyment in dhikr? Don't you feel refreshed in dhikr? It's the youth when you do dhikr. The old person, his voice doesn't even come out. Verbally, 90s, he's retired, he's an old man. But Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, it makes a person even younger, youthful. And in his voice, in his sound, he's even more eloquent. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? So, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the immediate reply to that sister. And who gets the knowledge? She's passed away. MashaAllah, she saw the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam choose the Sahabi with Iman. So this is her question and answer she got has given us success today in Bolton, in Manchester. That the person who's got wisdom, understanding what Allah Ta'ala has praised, today he will hear this hadith and he will start practicing it. He will start from tonight. And he will say, yes, I've understood the deen now. So what are we asking from Allah? What are we asking from Allah? That Allah starts to love me. This is what she asked in this hadith through the Prophet says, Allahu Akbar. That Allah, if I do a certain action, Allah, I want you to love me. If Allah loves somebody, imagine his status, that person. So, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gave the answer. And the meaning of the answer was this. Yes, totally. I will tell you such advice, such an action, that in the eyes of Allah, in the court of Allah, in the presence of Allah, most of all, when you do this action, it will make you the most beloved servant of Allah. So it's a very high level answer. The most of all, you will be the beloved. So what's most of all mean? What's most of all mean? Maximum. What does a person have when he has iman? He has treasures. How many amali he has? So much dunya. Shortcut. The Prophet ﷺ gave a shortcut to this. Put everything to one side. You can't do all this action. Person who can't work hard. Nowadays it's very hard to practice deen. A very fast age we're living in. Fast speed. Look, Ramadan, how fast Ramadan has passed. We haven't even realized how quickly, so speedily it's passed away, isn't it? So the Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith in Tabarani, I will tell you such an action, O sister, that when you do this, Allah, in the eyes of Allah, in the court of Allah, most of all, that is the most beloved deed, and you'll become the most beloved servant of Allah when you do this. Bala ya Rasulullah, may I sacrifice my life for you? Please tell me, what is the action? Dhikrullah, said the Prophet ﷺ. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. SubhanAllah. So all the actions, all the walis of Allah in the history of Islam, they became walis of Allah through dhikr of Allah. Yes, because the Prophet ﷺ has given us this guidance. If you want to have love for Allah, you can pray salah, do hajj, do umrah. But if you want Allah to make you His beloved servant, then just do one action, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. What a great action. What a great deed. So then, when the person starts to dhikr, when he remembers Allah, then after every dhikr, individually, you start individually, you get closer to Allah. Each session of dhikr that you do, you'll get more closer to Allah. Stronger it will be your relationship with Allah. Allah, so you'll get close to Allah, you'll feel strength. And I'll say another statement. Allah will start to, actually you won't get stronger in your faith, rather Allah will pull you closer to Him because you've become His beloved servant. You have no need to walk, Allah Ta'ala will bring you closer to Him. Always, the ashik, he looks and he runs looking for the person who loves him, isn't it? The person, you'll see that if you love someone, where's your beloved going, what path is he walking, which way will she go, I'll stop there. This is the worldly examples of love, ishq. Yeah, this trains a person, isn't it? Physically, spiritually. But it takes a person towards the true love. There are many stories historically about two individuals who loved each other. We have Romeo, Juliet, Indian subcontinent. All these stories, there's a learning. And the big stories have been written, which we can relate to if we have the understanding that how to get the connection with Allah. So it stated that the dhikr of Allah is such an action that it makes that person the beloved servant of Allah. Why? Because Allah said, in every action you do, there's an effect. In every action you do, there's an impact. Whatever action you do, there'll be an effect. There'll be a consequence. There'll be a result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His dhikr, His remembrance, the effect that He's put equals love. In other words, when you do dhikr of Allah, the result will be the love of Allah. It will make you the beloved of Allah. It will make you a person who Allah ta'ala loves and likes. Soon as you do dhikr, the more you do dhikr, the more you do dhikr, the more you do dhikr, it will draw you closer to Allah, draw you closer. This is another hadith, that eventually you get to a stage that Allah Ta'ala then announces, Jibreel, come to me, Jibreel. And Jibreel says, yes Allah. Allah says, announce in the heavens. Allah says, announce. And what shall I announce? Jibreel says, that this person, son of this person, he, I love this person. Or she, son of this person, daughter of this person, I love this woman. Allah Ta'ala says, and what was her name? Hassan Basri. Ajib Ajmi, Data Ganj Baksh. Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah. Hazrat Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, great walis of Allah. These names, they are names that Allah Ta'ala has remembered from above. Why? Because they used to do dhikrullah. I saw the tongue of my sheikh was moist. It wasn't sickness. So much he did dhikr of Allah. Always he was silent, dhikr of Allah. He spent his time, muraqabah, meditation. Every second he was in muraqabah, my sheikh. So Allah says, such a person, Allah says, I love this person. Announce in the heavens, Jibreel, that I love this person. From where? Allah says, first in the heavens announce. All the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, you know his voice, it spreads far and wide to the expanses. And he introduces that person to all the angels. The angels say, Allah loves this person in the world, this person. And then Allah says, have you told all the angels? Then Allah says, Jibreel, go and announce in the world that I love this person. In other words, into the depths of the oceans, the fish, they start to recognize this person, that Allah loves him. All the animals, the lion, the monkeys, the camels, they start respecting that human being who does dhikrullah. They look at him, they watch him, they bow down in front of him, they do sajda in front of that person. The animals, they change their path. There are many stories I could share with you. Many stories, the walis of Allah, when they are recognized. The lion is in the lion. Then the lion submits and lowers its back. And then he sits that wali along the back of the lion. That person, then he sits easily on the lion. There was a story of the Sahaba. They went through that. It was a lion. And the lion said, I'm not a lion for you. I'm a slave for you, O Sahabi. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala loves you. Allah likes you. So I'm at your service. So what is this? This is the strength of the iman that we need to use. This is the defining line between us and those who have no iman. If we have the same purpose of life than those who have no iman, and how sad we will die, go in the grave. Allah gave us such a great treasure and we didn't take any benefit from iman. From our deen, we didn't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't love us in turn. You understand what I'm saying? We're wasting our iman. So how much time we're wasting in our life when we're not utilizing the faith Allah has given to us? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. So nothing will go with us in the grave, my friends. Your clothes will come off, your watches will come off, your vests will come off, your shoes will come off, your trainers will come off, your expensive branded shoes will come off. You'll be made naked when you die and you'll be thrown into the grave. And on top they'll throw the sand and the soil, throw it on him, press it on him. And they say, Sawab, quickly throw more soil. Who wants to throw soil on this body and bury him? And what will come in use to us after we die? Hadith. The most of all the action that you do in the world that will save you from the punishment of the grave will be dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Dhikrullah will save you from the punishment of the grave. And what is dhikr? If we don't do dhikr in this world, then we are wasting our time. But if we do dhikr, we'll be fortune happy. So those who travel for dhikr, who love dhikr, who meet each other for the sake of dhikr, who do adab, who have manners to each other, give charity and money, and they want to increase their love for the sake of dhikr. The dunya is not objective for them. They become khadim, slaves. They sell their life for Allah Ta'ala. For dhikrullah. This is life, isn't it? Have we done this or not? No, yaar, I am a slave of that. I'm a slave of the dunya. We run after the people of the world and people of money, and we run after them, beg them for their comradeship. My friends, take the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the great line of the deen. Dhikrullah. Yes, where do you get meat? From the meat shop. Where do you get vegetables? From the greengrocers. Where do you get sweets? From the sweet shop. Where do you get Allah? Where the waliullah, where you're sitting here, you will get Allah. Where you are sitting right now. Subhanallah. This is a very great place where you're sitting. This is called khanqa. This is where you find Allah. This respect this place. High esteem your children. Bring them here and bring them with respect. Remember this. First teach them adab, manners, the where are we taking you? Teach them the adab, the manners, teach them to lower their voice, the volume. Today you see when you plant the seed, the flower, so high it goes, it gives the fruit, the mango tree, date palm. But first the farmer protects the plant. He straightens it, he waters it, and he protects it from the insects. Then it grows to be a tree. So today's children, if you don't teach them manners, what is a khanqa, what is a wali Allah, they'll stay like animals then. They will play the games. Yeah? They will be disrespectful. And then never bring your children if they're disrespectful. I remember a story. That there were two great walis of Allah. Maybe I can present this event in your service. It's a very great event. Look how great a thing is manners, adab. So they were both, you were walis of Allah at the same time. I saw that era, that golden generation, which I witnessed. There were many walis of Allah at that time, decades ago. I saw them. That zamana, that era that I saw. It was a very difficult. Who shall I go to? Then I left it to Allah. Allah Ta'ala, whoever's best for me, send me to that place. That's how many walis of Allah. There were pure walis of Allah at that time, decades ago. Today, prior to today, you could say when I was young, 40, 50 years ago. Now there's nothing. You can't find anyone. No walis of Allah. So every wali Allah is different. Every wali has his own quality, his style, his way of spreading the deen, his practice. So decades ago, there were two walis of Allah. One was Hasan Basri, rahmatullahi, and one was Habib Ajmi. Two walis of Allah. Great, high-level walis of Allah. Brilliant walis of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala loved both of them. Because Allah loves everyone who's a wali. We all say we love Allah, but when Allah loves somebody, that's the great achievement. Yes, so we're talking about those walis of Allah. Today, we want that Allah loves us. Yes, and that's what we want to attain today. Allah loves us. So I'm just speaking about respect in the khanqa. How much respect, adab should there be in the khanqa? Hasan Basri, there was a great wali Allah. Do you know he's a maqam? And Habib Ajmi, he had a high level as well. He had a high status as well. Ajmi is that person who is, you can say, illiterate. Ajmi, who is not educated, you can say. Yes, the illiterate person is never, well, you know, the subhanAllah, we say always just the educated person can be wala and the illiterate cannot be, but this is not the case. So, he went past the khanka of Hasan Basri, he said, let me pray salah behind Hasan Basri today. So they didn't have, you could say, hatred or dislike against each other, that he's my sheikh, that's your sheikh, and this is his khanka, that's his khanka, and let's not give respect, no. So that mutual love, he said, okay, I'm walking past it today, Abi Bajmi said, this is his khanka that's come, Hasan Basri said, let me go inside his khanka. So he went out, pray salah behind him. Maybe I'll get success. Look at the sincerity. And who was Hasan Basri rahmatullahi? Listen to his status. Hasan Basri was he, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umm Salama, she gave her milk to him to drink. Hasan Basri. And she was, you could say, her foster mother. His foster mother. And that's where he was born, in that midst, in that environment, Hasan Basri. So she used to work with the mother. So when he would cry and he used to be hungry, what you do? She would give to Hazrat Umm Salama, would pick him up, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi, and she would give her own milk to him. SubhanAllah, imagine his maqam, his status. And on one occasion it happened that when the Prophet ﷺ came, she put Hasan Basri into the lap. SubhanAllah, so he did ziyarah. So at that time, mashallah, he wasn't a child then, isn't he? He came into consciousness because he went into the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. So then, when he went into the lap and his wife presented the mother of the believers, then the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and he did dua for barakah, for blessings for him. Understand the maqam now? His status? So, and there was Abi Bajmi, and he was high level waliyullah at that time. And look at his sincerities. He said, now I'm going past his khanka, and it's a great thing, a darvesh, a waliyullah khanka, so if I go in there, I pray my salah behind him, maybe I'll be forgiven. So this is aqeedah, belief. One waliyullah has belief and love for the other waliyullah. And if we make it a game, the khanka, remember this, your generations will be then playing and mocking the deen. Respect for the deen. Respect the holy places. This is not a minor place. What's the difference here? Here Allah's name is repeated and remembered in abundance. Khanka, Allah's name is given in abundance. Not this, you pray salah and close the doors. No. Every moment the darvesh is in the khanka doing dhikrullah, remembering Allah. Connection to Allah. Tasbihs are being used. Tasbihs are being used to remember Allah. Remember one day in Bradford khanka, I told you. There was nobody there in Bradford khanka. I'll tell you, the one alim came and sat down, scholar. And one person came and sat down. One or two of them, they sat down. And there was nobody else. When, as soon as the night fell, they were doing dhikr, time came, they could hear tasbih all over the khanka in Bradford. They said, what's happening here? That there's no one here, no one using tasbih, what can we hear? So when there are no people there, then the angels come there and they do dhikrullah. So this is meant for the dhikrullah. If we put the board outside, what is this? Khanka. This is khanka. And that board, that person's name we put on the khanka, he gave the instruction that make the khanka for dhikr here. And that's a respect. So mashallah, it's a masjid. It is masjid, namaz, salah, we do everything. But on top of that, more holy and sacred is adab. Because mashallah, even a masjid, you should have adab in the masjid. The respect of the masjid is very high indeed. And very, even there in the masjid, you should not speak loudly. There's no loud voices in the masjid. But then on top of that, if it's a place of dhikrullah, khan can definitely bring your children and leave them here. But teach your children. I remember one event. That when I used to go to Bolton for some, I didn't live there at that time. When I used to travel to Bolton, when I reached there at Ishraq time, sunrise time, I used to work there. I thought, which masjid shall I pray Ishraq? And I wasn't aware of Bolton that much. What did I know after that? I will go and live there and populate that town. So one day I found a masjid and I went past there, and it was called Masjid al-Rahman, where 20 years I did dhikrullah there. MashaAllah, Randall Street Mosque, Masjid al-Rahman. So it was in a house, I saw there was a masjid, I went there, and I won't say the name of that sahib, and there was a little child there, he would bring him, and he would go into the masjid, with his child. And I said, is this a masjid? He said, yes, it's a masjid. And although it was not salah time at that time, and he took the child, and he was going inside the masjid with that child, and I was watching, what's he going to do? I wanted to pray Ishraq, sunrise time. So he was telling the child something, the father was. So I said, what are you telling? You brought this young child, what is it you're saying? He said, I have brought him to the masjid. He's a young child, boy. So I'm training him about the masjid, making, acclimatizing him to the masjid. That there's a wali of Allah here, there's good people here. That today, that child has grown up, mashallah, and mashallah, he's a consultant of a hospital, doctor, that child. and so respectful, deendar, religious, upright, righteous, because from the young life his father taught him the manners. He trained him. Trained him. Not this, they come there, close your eyes, just take them everywhere. It's not picture house or cinema, just take your children and release them. Teach them respect. Why? Because as soon as they're slightly disrespectful, then you'll get the consequences. So I'll go back to Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. Yes, he came himself to the Khanka very cautiously. He didn't go in there talking nonsense, having gatherings. Remember, you will be severely grabbed hold of. I tell you. Hear this. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. So he made the niyyah intention that I'm going to pray Salah behind Habib Ajmi. When he prayed Salah, then he was Ajmi. Alhamdulillah, when he said Alhamd, and he said a little thing, a short statement from his mouth. Yes, so obviously, Quran, he was reciting, he wasn't reading the Quran properly, but he was reciting, isn't it, what he could. Because he was Ajmi, he was saying Alhamd, he said Alhamd differently, and he was Alim, he was a scholar, Hasan Basri, so he slightly felt it. He was correct, and he was correct, both of them. So when you have come to this maqam, and you say he's a wali Allah, and he loves Allah, then you should bear through the things, the deficiencies that you, this is another point I'm telling you as well here. Don't start criticizing technical points, grammar, tajweed, he's saying wrong Quran, just leave that person. Leave that person, it's between him and Allah. Otherwise then don't come there to that place then. If you're going to criticize, if you believe he's a wali Allah and he loves Allah and Allah loves him, then you should come here, close your eyes, don't look for cracks and defects and criticize. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't come here with a pen and paper, he did this mistake, this is wrong, that person, he had the right recitation, I've studied ilm. This is not Darul Uloom, Baisa. This is not Darul Uloom. This is not the Institute of Ilm from the Kitabs. This is the Khanka. You have to stop all your knowledge then, come here. Just like as a Mulana Arum, Rahmatullah, just how he became Mulana Arum, Shams Tabrez made him Mulana Arum. He said, throw all of your books, he threw them all to the side. He said, throw them into the water. He's wrong, he doesn't have the knowledge, this doesn't mean this, nothing at all, whatever the Sheikh says, keep on listening. And look at the result, what comes out at the end of the day. So he was right, he was an alim, and he said he's not saying Alhamd properly, he's not reciting it properly, and the alim, the scholar, is that person that he has such knowledge that he learns to be cautious and careful. Not the alim that he starts to do more sins and leaves more salah and discards more salah and commits fraud more. He's not an alim. A scholar is that person who he is more careful than the common man. He has more taqwa, more fear of Allah. And he is more careful and more careful and cautious. No, I've read this hadith. Masla, he's stuck there. He said, I've read the hadith, alhamd. And he will be asked that you were told, so why didn't you practice on your knowledge? So alim, he gets stuck, isn't it, on his ilm. It's not easy to become an alim. Ilm has come. Alim is a person who's aware. Who's aware. Now you've known, you've learned the meaning of the hadith. You're aware what you should do now. So you've understood at least this hadith. So according to that, you need to practice your deen now. Because you're an alim. Don't compare yourself with other people, common people. So then what happened? So Hasan Basri Ramadan, when he heard that he said he's recited correctly, Hazrat Abi Bajmi, he said, is my salah correct? Is it accepted or not? He felt a bit negative at that time. And then he started to pray his own salah after that. He repeated his salah. So the event stopped there. He's a wali Allah. He didn't say anything when he observed that. Ajmi didn't say anything to him. And he prayed salah and he finished and he left. He went home and what happened then? The Allah Ta'ala gave ziyarah to him. Ziyarah. Subhanallah. Allah ziyarah to Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. Subhanallah. And when he saw ziyarah, and then he asked Allah straight away, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. He asked Allah, oh Allah, please tell me the path to your pleasure. Because obviously they are like that, the walis of Allah. That Allah's come to me, I'm doing ziyarah, let me speak to Allah. Oh Allah Ta'ala, Hasan Basri said, please tell me the path to your love. The Allah answered, that I gave you the path, you went to the Khanka, I sent you to the Khanka, and you didn't value it yourself. I took you to the Khanka, and you heard the words, and the night was good, and it was Ramadan, and you left there, and you heard that recitation, and you left from the door. So how can I forgive you now? You understand what I'm saying? So when Allah takes you to the door of the Khanka, where deen is coming to you, and your ears are listening, and your heart is accepting, and after that you don't change your life and improve your life, then Allah Ta'ala puts the barriers up then. That now lazim is hell for you, essential for you. I gave you so many favors, I brought you to the Khanka, I brought you to the right path, to the right company, and you yourself didn't value it, you yourself didn't want to practice it, and you were staunch and arrogant on your old ways. Do you understand my point? Yes. So such a place, when you go to a khanqa, then the things that you learn there, you hear there, you attain there, it's not a game, it's not a drama, it's not animals in a zoo. Very serious place is the khanqa. There's a difference between heaven and hell is decided there. The decision of your life. So you have to learn and take something from the khanqa. Correct your deen when you come here. And ask yourself questions. And then adab, come with respect. And can leave with the utmost respect in your life from the khanqa. Whether a child, older person, younger person, have adab, manners when you come to the khanqa. Not noise, shrieking, screaming. No, with lots of adab, manners. Just like Allah said in the Quran to the Sahaba, that in front of my Nabi, Abu Bakr, Umar, all of the companions, Allah addressed from Abu Bakr, all of the companions. Allah says, don't raise your voice and volume in front of my Nabi. That's how much adab you should have. Screaming, laughing in front of, playing games, and this is not deen. It's not deen. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Be very careful. So Hasan Basri, when he saw in the dream, he said, Hasan Basri, what was his maqam? Allah said, I sent you to the khanqa and to the place where you can get my pleasure. So where's Habib Ajmi and where's he that drank the milk of the mother of the believers, Hasan Basri? But that doesn't make the difference. That doesn't make the difference. Look at that. Allah Ta'ala liked the actions of Habib Ajmi, that Allah elevated his status so high. Allah, we don't know what can elevate a person. So straight away he said, Allah, what place are you talking about? And it even came out of his mind, he forgot that he'd gone to that khanqa. What place was that, Allah, you sent me for your pleasure? Where? Allah said, if Habib Ajmi, if you had prayed salah behind him, then your whole life of your salahs would have been accepted. If you'd prayed behind Habib Ajmi, Allah said to Hasan Basri. Do you understand the point now? Allahu Akbar. So brothers, colleagues, such a great event. What teaching does it give to us? What a great event. There's such a great wali Allah, Hasan Basri, and this is how Allah Ta'ala addressed him, about adab and manners, and valuing the wali Allah. This is what we should have. And the more you think it's a game, this deen, just passing time, hereafter is just unfortunate. Allah says, severe hisab I will take you through. Severe. This is not a game, the life that I've given to you. Any wali Allah, any friend of Allah, if you're going to his company, to his khanqa, and for the sake of Allah you're going, then you should be alert before you even reach there. That how should I go there? What are the manners there? What should I be doing there? And not externally, your heart should be made before you go there. Remember this first. Internally, extract all the waswasas, negative thoughts against the wali Allah, your negative thoughts. You are going to meet the wali Allah. Extract from your hearts all the negative you harbor in your heart against him. You understand what I'm saying? That's when you will go and succeed. But you're not going there to waste time. So you're not going there for physical respect. Go with adab from the depths of your heart. Very much we should have adab for the place we're going to, for the person we're going to sit in this company. Then, so I've shared this hadith with you, that if you want Allah to love you, then there's only one deed, the greatest, there's no greater deed than that. What is that? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. Yes, so through the dhikr of Allah, the human being, he gets to his destination. He starts on the journey. So when you see that you're not on the path of the deen, then go to that shop, go to that store where you find this product. And if your heart accepts it, that environment, the company of that sheikh, that teacher, if your heart doesn't feel it, if you think, no, the stock here isn't good, I'm not benefiting, then leave that. Don't disrespect even then, if your heart doesn't feel or connect. But if your heart is accepting that deen is here, and then stick yourself to that place. Stick yourself to that teacher and stay there and learn from there. Why? Because this is where you will get the product from. This is where you'll get the result from. Do you understand? So Allah Ta'ala is taking you to that shop, to that store, to the company of the wali Allah, then stay there. Not for a few years, for the whole life you should stick yourself to there. Whole life until death. Stay there. Stay there. Respectfully. And keep on moving, keep on practicing, keep on listening. Every day your level, your status will increase, and the deficiencies, Allah Ta'ala will eradicate them, eliminate them. And never be disheartened there, never be disappointed there. When the human being, when the student arrives to the company of a wali Allah, he can never be left empty-handed in his life. La Jalusum Allah says, that when you arrive to the company of the wali Allah, this is hadith, when you're in the company of a pious person, the student will never leave that gathering empty-handed. Never will he leave devoid of benefit or success. His death will come with iman, with belief. For sure. That's how a person is secured when he has the company. The teachers of wali Allah. 50 years, 60 years, you have ups and downs, many tragedies come. But if you stick yourself to wali Allah, and subhanAllah, doesn't matter. When you see the train, how many carriages are there on a train? First class cabin, second class cabin, carriages. And then you have the coach, the cabin right at the back of the train. Right at the back, third class. But when the train gets to the end result, that last station, even that last carriage, they will get there. And all the people sitting in that last carriage, they get to their destination. Then I speak about myself. That I'm not in first class, I'm not in economy, I'm the last carriage in the train, but at least I'll get there to the destination. At least I won't get left behind. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. So stick yourself to that train as a carriage. Sometimes it happens that if you go into that last carriage, you don't get space, then the people, they hang on to the train from the handles of the door, even they get to their destination. Just stick yourself to that carriage, to that train. Just make the connection with that teacher. That's it. Don't look here, what's going to happen, it's too hard for me, I'm going to sin again. Just stick yourself to that train. Superglue yourself. So how do you superglue yourself to the train? What is that? It's tawbah that will allow you to stick glue you. So take the glue of tawbah, repentance, end of story. That when you come, Hazrat Sahib, please let me do the man. Tonight's tawbah, tawbah in Ramadan, how much your thawab will increase? SubhanAllah. It must be a very beloved servant of Allah who does tawbah at the hands of a sheikh in a night like this. First of all, we don't even have sheikhs in the world today. We are living in the era of drought. Where do you find a wali Allah? Where do you find a sheikh? If you find a sheikh in Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan, and you are able to do tawbah at his hands and your life can improve, and you've jumped onto that train, carriage, I'll tell you what a great result. That must be your mother's dua that's enabled you. Because the mother's dua is never rejected. Remember this. Mother's dua is never rejected. SubhanAllah. Even if she slaps you and does dua, the dua is accepted. Even if she throws shoes on you, go there and get out of here. She scolds you, but she'll do dua for you, the dua will be accepted. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Musa alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, that Musa, he said, Allah, how can I love you? How can I get close to you? Allah said, Musa, don't you know? I'll give you an example, Musa. That ask from me in such a way, the way the child begs from the mother. She will push him away and swear at the child, but the child keeps on crying, Mama, please give to me, Mama, I want the sweets, I want the sweets, I want the sweets. Eventually she gives the sweets to the child. She says, okay, go, go, go. The child gets what he wants, or what she wants, and he gets the candy, gets the floss. And he gets the mom to listen. So with Allah, keep sticking yourself to Allah. Allah, please, I beg. Allah, send you back, send you back, send you back. You say, Allah, please, I want to get near to you. Allah, I want to get near to you. So this is Ramadan, the nice of Ramadan. Do dua. Let's pray and do tawbah. And connect yourself through a wali Allah. Do tawbah. Repent in the hands of a wali Allah. And mashallah, whatever he tells you to do, keep on trying in your life. Inshallah, you'll get success. So do tawbah. Repent to Allah through the connection of a wali Allah. That's the true tawbah. And that's hard nowadays to do that. Because we're living in the era of drought, the day and age of drought. May Allah Ta'ala to all of us give us the ability to practice. And these few words and examples are presented to you. May Allah allow us to practice on this. And tonight, this night, let's do tawbah, true repentance, and ask Allah to accept our repentance. Was our life that has passed before today in wasting our time and nonsense actions. Let's do dua to Allah. We've spent our life in a very bad way. We should have regret, remorse, feel sad. And that's why Allah has given us these nights. You have come for this reason to this place. You haven't come here to talk, to enjoyment, or gossiping, or eating food. No other objective, just one objective. Sit here in the corner and cry, Allah, that this is the place of your beloved servant. This is your khanka, your special mercy descends. There are barakat here. Allah, please give me your mercy. Allah, please, the mistakes I've made, Allah, I'm nothing. I'm full of sins. I'm drowning in sins. These few nights I left tonight, then we have tomorrow night, that's it, Ramadan will finish. Then after that, Shawwal will come. Yes, and then you wait, have to wait another year for Ramadan. And then will you get a place in the khanka, or if you don't get a khanka, will there be a gathering in the khanka? Allah knows, and our destiny knows best. We don't know. So if you're here now, utilize the time. Now take the benefit today, now. Those people are new, do tawbah. Those who've done tawbah already, then strengthen your tawbah and strengthen your connection with Allah. Allah, I've made these mistakes. I did tawbah. Allah, I revive my deen. Look at your akhlaq. Look at your disrespect. Look at your anger. Look at your bad manners. Look at your lack of adab. And the masjid and the khanka, we do disrespect. Each and everything, do hisab. List it. There's a high rank for that person. That serving the masjid is a high rank. Doing khidmat of the khanka is a very high rank. High level. Giving, sweeping, picking up the rubbish, hoovering, cleaning, and feeding the people, making food. This is a treasure, the khanka, treasure chest. and do khidmat, serving the people who are the travelers, the visitors. You have a high level if you're doing khidmat of the khanqah, high class. Though nobody has that level that the khadim. If you are khadim, it's a very high level khidmat service. Very great achievement to be an attendant of the khanqah. And Jannah is waiting for those people. Those people who have done khidmat serving the khanqah, then that khidmat they have done, they will do shifa. Allah, He gave me water, He gave me food in the khanqah, He helped me in the khanqah. They will do shifa. Because by doing khidmat, your pride is reduced, takabbur is reduced. So much khidmat, if you get in a khanqah, in a masjid, that you can straighten the shoes, then even by straightening the shoes on the shoe rack, you can become a wali Allah. As a Baba Farid, he said to Nizamuddin Awliya, straighten the shoes. Where did it ask? Look where Nizamuddin Awliya is today, his rank, his status. Why? Because khidmat is a great action. And whose shoes? Sinful people, thieves, bandits, criminals, those who come to the masjid. All the different people, sinners. And he's straightening their shoes. And mashallah, Shahruddin. In Surwardi Silsila, very great Wali Allah, in the Surwardi Silsila in Multan, Pakistan, and his grandson Shahrukh Muddin. And mashallah, he said, I'm talking about Wali Zawallah, because you are pious people such as, so I talk about Wali Zawallah. That's why I share these things with you. These are all according to Sharia. The deen, alhamdulillah, is not bidah, not innovation, all according to the Sharia. So I always will speak within the boundary of Sharia. I won't speak about things that are not within the deen of Islam. Within the hadood, the boundary of Sharia, I always speak Quran and Sunnah. So he was given that duty, that he was his grandson. He said, go and straighten the shoes of the musallis who come to the masjid, to the khanqah. From a young life, from the young age, he was given that duty. And through the shoes, straightening the shoes, he got the high maqam. Because he used to straighten the shoes and said, what do you do with the shoes? He said, these are the shoes of those people, the walis of Allah, these are their shoes. He would separate the shoes of the wali of Allah from the normal people. The young child is doing this. Look at this. That every khidmat, when you get the opportunity to serve a masjid khanqah, it's a high level khidmat. But don't be proud of that. Don't show that off. If you've got imamat, it's a great achievement. If you've got a hifz and you're imam, it's a great achievement. It's a very great thing. If you've got khidmat service, that you are leading the salah, that you've got the khidmat. And then if you deserve it of that. Don't argue, you are this, I'm this, I'll come to the masjid, you don't come. This is very dirty words you're saying. Rather you should say, I want, you lead the salah please. You lead the salah. You lead the salah. I'm not deserving. I'm not worthy. Yes, you are more mutaq me, say in the heart, he's a better person than me. I'm not good. He's better than me. But was he? He said, no, that you are good, he's shaitan. That you've got more ilm, shaitan. You are hafiz, he's not a hafiz. If he was a hafiz, then Subhan Hamid Bajmi, what happened with him? Hasan Basri was guided. What happened with him? So he said, that you should have gone there and prayed behind him. Yes, yeah, so you should consider him as good, as pious, as worthy. Better than you. But we don't say, I say, I am better. My Quran is better, my recitation is better, I'm sabakari, I know the 7 recitations or the 10 recitations. What shall I pray for him? Allah's given somebody a chance, let him pray. Let him lead. It could be that due to his salah, your salah is accepted. Habib Ajmi, due to him, Hasan Basri is told that all your life of salah would have been accepted if you prayed behind Habib Ajmi. Yes? So he didn't say ha probably, he said ha. Difference of recitation. These are the sicknesses. Very difficult is to extract these sicknesses. Very difficult is to extract these sicknesses. So it is very easy to stand for tahajjud, pray shirak, charge salah, do dhikrullah. Very easy thing to do. Let's see what change is coming inside of you. Transformation. How you are purified inside and clean, and when the good positive feelings are coming, that you consider yourself the lowest of the lowest. And you say, oh, 50 years I was there, 30 years in the khanqah I'm doing khidmat, and 80 years I'm doing khidmat. No need to say that. Maybe the person who comes today, first day, is better than you. Of course. It's up to Allah. That I went to Hazrat Sahib's khanqah, and there were people 60, 70 year old attendants, and Hazrat Sahib was to give me khilafat that day, the same day. That's it, Allah's choice. So if anyone says this, he said that Hazrat Sahib, 60, 70 years of wasted, 50 years of wasted, mashallah, you are good, you will go to that maqam, please do dua for me. That, but no, they wanted to be Chaudhary. I've been 60 years doing dhikr, mujahida, effort to try to impress other people. No, you don't do that. This is khanqah. This is against the manners of the khanqah. That person's a monkey. His dhikr has not affected him. The person who wants to find Allah, he's extremely humble, and he expresses humility in his every action and word. And he will say that I'm lower than the earth, than the soil. That a person who is humble, he never considers he's better. He says, this person's done better than me. In my eyes, Allah, lower me in my own eyes. And Allah, When you lower yourself in your own eyes, what's the result? Allah Ta'ala elevates you in the eyes of the people of the world. That's how we should be. Yes, but we say, no, I want to be high level myself. I want to be greater myself. Let me lower other people so that I am accepted as greater. I saw one sahib who was very famous, Peer Sahib. He is a peer, I think. Qadriya Silsila. I won't say his name. And he was angry. Lots of anger was inside him. And I was laughing at that time. And he was making people, trying to impress people. What's this going on here? You're going to this khanka. And you should call me on time. When I come outside, there should be people stood there waiting for me to shake my hand. Submit to me. I'm busy. I have to shake people's hands. My time is wasted. And they don't give me the receipt. They don't welcome me. Dunya is waiting for me, he said. Subhanallah, after a few days, you saw how he was dishonored. This is what Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. When a person shows off, you think you're high level and you have a higher status. No. If you want to be high, you should be high in taqwa. Fear of Allah. And the most greatest taqwa is this, that you should consider yourself as soil and dust, and all the other people around you are better. If Allah gives you a ni'mah, a treasure, allows you to do an action, then this is Allah who's given you this status. If He's given to you today, He'll take from you tomorrow. End of story. That's it. It's not your achievement. It's not your achievement. Nothing. You achieve nothing. So ni'mah, you should be grateful and have value. Allah, you made me this, you give me this opportunity, this ni'mah. Allah has given you this, not so that you show off in front of the other people, and impress other people, and make people run after you, to acclaim you. No, 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 no. This is Allah's ni'mah, treasure, and this is how you should be grateful to Allah, that you should lower yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. This is faqiri. This is the person who is a darvish, who is close to Allah, friend of Allah. 60, 70 years doesn't make a difference. Otherwise, you can become successful just in a few minutes in the company, if you're sincere. One moment in the company of a wali Allah is greater than 1,000 years. I'm not saying sit 100 years. Even if you sit for a second in the company of wali Allah, you'll get success. 1 second. Hazrat Dr. Arafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay, I didn't sit for years. Just a few hours I sat in his company, and the whole Chishtiya Silsila family came into my knowledge and into my life. The effect is there. Effect is there. Until today I feel his spirituality, great spirituality, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay, Dr. Arafi Sahib. By Allah's faiz and mashallah Allah's mercy that he gave me time and coming. That was due to my Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Sahib gave me order that go to Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay. Hazrat Sahib said go to his company and sometimes go then sit in his company and benefit from that. Otherwise without the Shaykh's ijazah, no murid should go to anywhere, to anyone, any other wali Allah. But my Shaykh gave me the hukam, Hazrat Sahib gave me the instruction. Definitely there's benefit in this, so I have to go and complete that instruction. That's why I went there. So, I could, for example, normally a person's a baghi, he's a rebel when he leaves one sheikh and goes to another sheikh to try to get benefit. Let me see what's goodness in him. You won't get goodness from either. Just have one sheikh, strict, and stick to that sheikh until death. The whole life stay with the one sheikh. Whatever I'm going to get, Allah, I'm going to get from this sheikh. And sometimes there's a reason that your sheikh will advise you. There's a special reason. He may tell you that you go for some time and spend some time in the service of another sheikh. That's the instruction of your teacher, if he says that. So when I went there, mashallah, great effect, great learnings I achieved there. And he also knew that I was the murid of Hazrat Sahib, and when he received me, he sat me down. And a few hours of alhamdulillah, one moment in the company of wali Allah is better than 100 years of sincere worship. So that was, whole of the Chishtiya Silsila came into my knowledge and awareness. He allowed me to benefit from that. So in these points, it's not this that you are high level, you're pious, you've got the deen. No, this is an ilm that you're learning. Tazkiya, but real thing is the result. What result? All these words, do I have a result? Then I can speak to you, isn't it? If I have the practice. So Allah Ta'ala says, I'll see the result. What have you brought to me in the hereafter? Allah says, what have you done? I've never said, Allah has never said, bring money, bring wealth, bring funds, bring assets. Allah says, bring to me a peaceful heart. Allah says, keep all your money, your deed, your actions. Allah says, show me your heart. What is the state of your heart? I remember another story of Hassan Basri Ramtarali. Time, I've taken a lot of your time. Let me tell you another story. Let me share with you another story. Subhanallah. So they were, you know, mashallah, there were two walis of Allah. So Hassan Basri was stood there. Habib Majmi was stood there. Again, two walis of Allah. Hassan Basri stood. He wanted to go to the river. Habib Majmi came and he wanted to cross the river as well. And both walis of Allah stood there. Habib Majmi, he asked him, what are you stood there for? What's the reason? He said, Hassan, what are you waiting for? He said, I'm waiting. The boat will come. The boat hasn't come yet. I want to sit in the boat and cross the river. I need to go to the other side of the river. He said, what a weird thing you're saying. You're waiting for the river. For the boat. He said, correct your heart, O Hassan. He said, Abi Bajmi said, tell me. He, Ajmi, subhanAllah. And he had such a heart that Allah Ta'ala said to him that if you prayed salah behind Abu Ajmi, I would have accepted Hasan Basri, all of your salahs with life. He said, Hasan, correct your heart. Your heart is not correct. What need do you have to wait for a boat to take you? Just, and he started to walk across the water on it with his feet. And he stood there watching, and he arrived to the other side of the river. And Hasan, he understood them. He came to alertness, consciousness. He said to his marids, what's happened? What did you fall unconscious? He said, that subhanAllah. Today, Habib, the tawakkal, the fear of Allah, and the tawakkal, the reliance of Habib Ajmi on Allah has shook me today. This is a heart he's got. Such a pure heart. This is how you make the heart. Everything is done through the depths of the heart. That's why we do dhikr. Why is dhikr the greatest deed? Dhikrullah, why is it the greatest deed? Why? The person who does dhikr, because he loves Allah, the person who doing dhikr. All the other actions, maybe we're showing off, maybe there's pride. But dhikrullah directly cleans the heart of the believer, which is the maqam-e rab, the clean, pure heart. Directly, dhikrullah cleans the heart, directly. Immediately it cleans the heart, purifies the heart. So that you can connect to Allah. That's why the sheikh, the teacher will prescribe dhikr to the student. That's why there's a high level attained by doing dhikrullah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you, let's do dhikrullah for a short while. Are you ready now? Okay, let's start dhikrullah now. Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salam wa ala sayyidina Muhammad. Habana la tu'akhuzna inna sayyidina aqtana. Rabbana wa ta'ala. Ala inna yisrimku wa hamadha wa al-sayyidina qubli. Habana wa la tu'hamadna wa la tu'akhuzna. وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ رَبَّنَا إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ دَلِيلَ نَعْمَلُ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ يَا عَزِيزُ يَا غَفَّارُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك جل وعلا نعوذ بك من النار نعوذ بك من النار نعوذ بك من النار وادخلنا جنة أعمال الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رحم العالمين يا رحم العالمين يا قاضي الحاجات تكت حاجاتنا يا الله ہماری تمام ضروریات کو پورا فرما یا اللہ ہماری تمام ضروریات کو پورا فرما یا قادر حاجات اکتحاجات یا اللہ فیل بلی جہاد اتفا بلی جہاد یا اللہ جو ہم پہ ظلم کریں تو بدلہ لے لے یا اللہ بلاؤں سے مصیبتوں سے فتنوں سے بچا لے یا اللہ اپنوں کے غیروں کے فتنوں سے بچا لے مد نظروں سے بچا جادوگروں سے بچا حاسدوں سے بچا حاسدوں سے بچا حاسدوں سے بچا بد نظری سے بچا دشمنوں سے بچا کینہ والوں سے بچا یا اللہ کینہ والوں سے بچا یا اللہ کینہ والوں سے بچا یا اللہ ہمیں ہماری حفاظت فرما ہمارے دل کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے وجود کی حفاظت فرما ہماری نگاہوں کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے قلب کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمیں قلب سلیم نصیب فرما اللہ ہماری محنتوں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہماری محنتوں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ یہ تیرا کرم ہے کہ کیسی خوبصورت راتوں میں تو ہمیں ذکر کی توفیق دے رہا ہے اے میرے مولا تیری عنایت ہے تیرا فضل ہے میرے مولا اتنے بڑے نام ہے کیسے مل سکتے ہیں یہ تیری محبت کا دل اللہ والوں کے پاس بیٹھنے کا نتیجہ میرے مولا یا اللہ اس تدریش کی دعا ہے جہاں پر دنیا رنگ لگا دیا میرے مولا یا کریم ہم اللہ والوں کے پاس بیٹھنے کی توفیق نصیب اپنی زندگی کو کارآمد بنانے کی توفیق نصیب زندگی کی چند سانس میں ضائع ہونے سے بچا میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں آخرت کے بارے میں حریص ہونا دنیا کے بارے میں قناعت نصیب ہونا اے کریم اے کریم اے کریم ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ جنہوں نے ہمیں بچپن میں پالا میرے مولا یا اللہ ہماری ماں کو درجہ دے اعلیٰ درجہ عطا فرما یا اللہ ہمارے والد کو درجہ دے اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرما جن لوگوں نے ہماری پرورش میں حصہ لیا میرے مولا یا اللہ تم کے درجات بلند فرما یا اللہ جن لوگوں نے ہماری پرورش میں حصہ لیا ان کے درجات بلند فرما جنہوں نے ہماری روحانی تربیت کی میرے مولا اپنی شان کے مطابق لطف بلند فرما یا اللہ ہماری روحانی تربیت جس نے کی میرے مولا ان کی قبروں کو روشن فرما اگر زندہ ہے تو میرے درجات کو بلند فرما یا رحم الرحمین اپنے فضل و کرم سے آج کی ساری عبادات کو ہمیں قبول فرما دعاؤں کو قبول فرما ذکر کو قبول فرما ربنا حبلنا من ازواجنا وذریاتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ومستعذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين.